Tools.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Really glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Monday. Oh, yeah. That's a Motown Monday. That's how we do. From what I understand already in the first 30 seconds of this show, this is a more entertaining show than the Grammys were last night. Carrie, that's what I'm hearing.
That sounds about right.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, I didn't watch. And it used to be, for me, as a musician, it used to be must-see TV. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I used to watch it all the time, years ago.
Grammys coming on. You must watch the Grammys. Did you watch?
I did not.
Paulo, you're a music guy. Did you watch?
No, I did not.
Karina, young and happening. Did you watch?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it either.
Sam, also young and happening. Did you watch?
Definitely not.
Okay, so we've got five people on staff ready to go on the radio show, and not one of us watched this program. And as it turned out, we weren't, you know, unique. It was horribly low rated. We'll have that story in a second. We've got a lot going on in this program today because Hillary Clinton was brought out on the stage as well last night to read sections of a book that the author himself says he can't verify what he wrote in the book. And I guess as part of some comedy skit, because reading a book about the current president that makes fun of the current president and the administration somehow is related to the music industry. Carrie, did I get it right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And also, I mean, holding Jay-Z up on high like he's some sort of beacon for how to treat women. I mean, I don't know. And also having Hillary Clinton involved in the whole what was the last thing? It wasn't Me Too. They said too long or enough is enough or something. What was it? Long enough? Something like that?
I don't even know.
There was some trend all day today that related to it. Enough is enough. Long enough. We're not doing it anymore. Is it time is up? Is that what it was? Okay.
Or time's up, something like that.
Yeah, time's up. I think that was the hashtag. It's not trending now, but it turns out hashtag no abortion ban. That's trending because that's who we are today in America. No abortion ban. We have to be able to kill the babies. So last night, it was now I can remember back to, this has got to be 1983 or 1984, and I wanted to be wrong about the year, but it was one of those years. It might have been 82, something like that. Do you remember Mr. Mister?
Oh, yeah.
They had a song, Kyrie, which was based on Kyrie Eleison. It was like a religious song, but it was a huge pop hit. And I remember them performing it on the Grammys and me going, man, this is exactly why I watched the Grammys. Because they were just great. And I remember Billy Joel playing in the Grammys, and the Grammys played music too soon and didn't let Frank Sinatra continue his acceptance speech for Legends Award or the Lifetime Achievement or something at the Grammys. So in the middle of River of Dreams, Billy, which was a new song for Billy Joel then, he stopped and paused. He said, valuable network commercial time, valuable network commercial time. And he was like, I mean, that was like as political as it got. And I remember always marking my calendar. And back then, we'd have to mark it like with a stone and a slate because we didn't have phones or anything like that. We had to like write it down somewhere that the Grammys were going to be on Saturday night or Sunday night. And you're damn right I'm going to be watching. I didn't watch last night. I understand James Corden was the host. I like James Corden. I don't ever watch his show at night, but because I go on YouTube a lot, and I've told you about this, I go on YouTube, listen to music, and do whatever. I like that he does this. What is it where he's driving around with the people?
Carpool karaoke. Yeah, carpool
there
karaoke.
There you go. Yeah. Great.
That's good stuff.
Great. It's great. And you're not going to get a whole lot of politics, although he had Michelle Obama in there at one point and whatever. But, you get to see him riding around with Elton John, riding around with Stevie Wonder, riding around with Bruno Mars and just these great people, Kelly Clarkson, just down the line, just amazing. And that's the kind of entertainment that you want. And I think the first carpool karaoke he ever did was with George Michael in England. And that was excellent as well. I went back and watched that. George Michael, who's since passed. I don't know why they thought they became the political thinkers of the land when we only love them because of the entertainment they provide us. We don't really know them. And we aren't turning to them to be scholars or the brainiacs amongst us. We just want them to entertain us. And as we've seen the football ratings drop by as much as 35%+ because they're playing politics instead of playing a game, which is why we tune in, we're also seeing fewer people tune into things like the Grammys. These award shows have become ridiculous. Why on God's earth would Hillary Clinton be invited to read a segment of a book? The author says he can't verify the information therein, and she somehow gets a rousing round of applause. It's, to me, it's nutty. So, bottom of this hour, it'll be Gary Byrne. He's a former Secret Service police officer. He worked with the Clintons during the Clinton administration. He has all the insight. Remember, he wrote a book called Crisis of Character, where he just outs Bill and Hillary Clinton for being the nut jobs they are and the bad people they are. Now he's got a new book called The Secrets of the Secret Service. We'll talk to him about what Hillary Clinton had to say last night, and he completely calls her out for hypocrisy. Do you know what section of the book she read last night?
I don't.
Oh, she read a section of the book about McDonald's.
Yeah.
Where the writer, Michael Wolff, who I'd never heard of before, writes a book that he says, well, this is the truth as far as I know it. And I didn't say everything was exactly fact. I mean, I don't have any proof. She reads some segment of the book about President Trump liking to eat at McDonald's because he fears somebody will poison him or something. And it was all a big joke or something. And wait till you hear the story Gary Byrne has to tell about the Clintons at McDonald's, which completely highlights her hypocrisy again. Now, I have him. I also have the man who wrote 12 Strong and is the executive producer of the movie 12 Strong. Paula, you see all the movies. Have you seen 12 Strong yet?
Not yet.
Chris Hemsworth is in there. It's about the horse soldiers in Afghanistan right after 9/11. And they were basically the tip of the spear. And this guy wrote it and is the executive producer of it. And somehow, Carrie, yes, his name is Doug Stanton, by the way. Somehow, yes, during the conversation, I figure out a way to get in a story about my brush with Jerry Bruckheimer. I don't know how I did it.
I'm
but
shocked.
Somehow I got.
Okay.
Have you heard the Bruckheimer story?
I don't think so.
I interviewed him in New York many years ago. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
An interesting story.
Okay.
And he was producing CSI Umama, CSI Miami, CSI New Orleans, CSI Anchorage. And I might have asked him if I could appear on CSI.
Oh, I know you did.
What?
I know what? You did. I'm sure you said
and
no.
And his answer was absolutely great. So I do all that, right? And run around like a chicken with my head cut off. And, I also did a PAGS parody today. I don't know how I did that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Because I got to tell you something. I had no time to do this. Now, I asked Polo, I said, I need a parody about the Grammys. And you know what Polo's answer was?
What's that?
A question mark.
Okay, come on.
Help me understand how that was the appropriate. What was your answer to me?
Yes, because did you go back and read what you sent me?
What did I send? I said I need a parody for the Grammys.
Thanks on his parody idea for Grammys. Thanks.
What?
Yes.
I was driving down the road going 80 miles an hour.
Okay, well, that's what I got from you.
You didn't know what I meant. You didn't know what I meant.
Think on his parody idea for Grammys.
Listen.
Thanks.
Clearly, I meant think on this parody idea for Grammys. Thanks. You didn't know that's what I meant?
No.
Carrie, if I would have sent you, I'm gonna send it to Carrie right now. Carrie, would you have known what I was saying had I sent you this? Because okay. I'm not gonna take this crap from Polo today. I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me send you exactly what I said. I just copied it and pasted it.
Okay.
Would you know what I meant?
Probably.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parody. You just didn't want to. Now Polo has some of the greatest ideas. So I didn't ask you because you only had one good idea, and I don't want to spoil your track record, to be honest with you.
That's rude.
It was a great idea. It was one of the best parties I've ever done, to be honest with you. It was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to Sam, and I asked Sam, do you have any ideas? And she's shooting ideas and shooting ideas, and I'm shooting them down because that's who I am. And then she writes, too political as the hook line for some song, and I went, wait a second, that's it. It made me immediately, when she wrote too political, it made me immediately think of an Olivia Newton-John song. Any clues?
Too political?
Come on, seriously? Yeah. You went there?
Yes.
This guy.
Yes.
Not Let's Get Physical, is it?
What? I don't know. I guess I'll have to hear it.
No.
I don't know if I ruined that song or not.
Oh my God.
When I saw it riding down a road, it rolled off the tongue too political. And I went, wow. I really did think about this. I thought about a Bobby Brown song, which I don't think I could have done as well as I did. Too political. You know the Bobby Brown song I'm talking about, Polo? Any idea?
My prerogative?
Exactly right. Too political. I'm telling you, I could have done that too.
No, you really could not have. No.
But I want to tell the audience right now. I worked my fingers to the bone today. No. I'm going to tell them right now. I worked my face off to bring this to you people. So stick around. There'll be a PAGS parody about the Grammys last night. Carrie will have a story on how bad the Grammy Awards ratings were last night. And I wonder, with that in mind, will that bring people who are in the entertainment business and in the sports business and in Hollywood, will they finally say, we can't continue on this path because we're losing money hand over fist? Because next year when they do the Grammys, advertisers are going to say, look, dude, you got to give me a much better deal than that. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. I want to know if you listened to the Grammys, watched them. I want to know if you didn't and why. And I certainly am going to need you to tell me how great my parody was, because when you hear it after we come back, what? Why are you groaning?
I just don't think
it's the first 15 minutes of the first show of the week, and you're groaning already?
I am, yes.
You know, Joe, I will say one thing. Usually, yes. You know, when I don't watch some of these award shows, I can catch clips of them on Facebook. And okay. I haven't seen any. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what Facebook's doing.
I wonder why.
Yeah, usually I can watch them all.
It could be. Yeah, but normally, even our friends and family, somebody's going to be pushing these videos, and then we would see them right. Even in the new way that Facebook is doing things. I just don't think people were very happy with what they did last night on the Grammys, and they're not spreading it, because people would normally spread these videos and say, look at this great performance by fill in the blank. You know, one performance by Kendrick Lamar allegedly was a bunch of people pretending they got shot. I mean, that's what the Grammys is now? Jay-Z is somehow the social leader and the higher power when it comes to our values. Did we forget that he beat somebody up in an elevator? A woman? His sister-in-law? Or smacked her or something? I mean, come on, man. What are we talking about here? So when we come back, I will encapsulate the Grammys for you last night. A little song I like to call Too Political on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
The West.
WOAI is an iHeart radio station.
Hi, great to have you. It is the Joe Pag Show, Motown Monday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Polo is correct. During the break, told me that the Jay-Z thing was, Beyonce's sister Solange smacked him. And he didn't do anything back, but she was smacking him because allegedly he'd been sleeping around. And then I believe Beyonce did a song where she was calling out somebody Becky. And I believe she actually did a song about the people that he was allegedly fooling around with, right?
Well, it was like her whole album was called Lemonade. And then like that particular thing was, that song was called Becky with the Good Hair. That's what she called it.
All right. And then somebody reminds me, Mary reminds me over on Twitter that there is a video of him actually smacking an underage girl because she took his picture or something. So he's not really a nice guy, Jay-Z. I'm just going to put it out there. Plus, he's a 5%er. If you don't know what that is, look up 5%er. Very, very hateful organization. And the guy's got a checkered past. But for some reason, he's one of these value people that we need to look at for what our country should be going forward. So I thought I'd put together a little something. It's a Pags parody. It's called Too Political. Before I do that, Kerry, if you would, fill the people in on how great the ratings were last night for the Grammys.
From the Hollywood Reporter, Sunday's Bruno Mars-loving Grammy Awards took a dramatic ratings spill, fetching the smallest demo audience in the show's history. The telecast, which ran a bloated 3.5 hours, was off by 24% from 2017 with adjusted numbers. And with time zone adjustments taken into account, the telecast averaged 19.8 million viewers at a 5.9 rating among adults 18 to 49. The second stat marked a low for the show. Among total viewers, that number was down even more than overnight returns from Nielsen Media that at a 12.7 rating among households. It's the biggest drop for the Grammys since the 2013, the year after the show swelled following the death of Whitney Houston. The 2017 overnight ratings for the Grammy Awards did not paint the most accurate portrait of their year-over-year performance. The 16.0 rating among households, steady with 2016, ended up translating to a not insignificant gain of 1 million viewers. Those Grammys were the best in 2 years, averaging just north of 26 million viewers and earning a 7.8 rating among adults 18 to 49. CBS shifted the Grammys back to Sundays in 2017, a move that ultimately proved fruitful for the show, but unlike the last few years, the 2018 Grammys happened rather early on the calendar by a full 2 weeks, and the Grammys last aired in January back in 2014. On the bright side, CBS easily dominated all other original efforts for the night. The network also cites a 40% uptick in streaming on its all-access service, and with signups near an all-time high for a single day.
There you go. The ratings sucked. They were way down. People don't want to watch it. People don't want to watch somebody preaching to you and cramming their values down your throat. The people do, however, carry, and I've done a study on this. I did a survey right before the program, and it was 98% yes and 2% undecided as to whether they wanted to hear my new parody I like to call Too Political. Oh, yes. I went there. I think people want to hear me sing Levina and John, to be honest with you. Let's go. We turn to you to get away from it all. Not to hear you teach. Bring it down. Dance around and sing a song. Not your time to preach. You singing? You seem to have forgotten why you're there. You're a star among us. You know you're bobbing. We don't give a shit what you think.
What was that?
Your ego is enormous.
Everybody.
Don't be political. Let it go.
What?
Don't be political. Don't be so political. We just want to hear you sing.
Yes.
Hear you sing. We just want to hear you sing.
Moral
stop
guy.
Being political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We just want to hear you sing. And watch you dance. Please just entertain us all.
Another verse.
Then you brought out Hillary Clinton to read a book of lies. Did you miss her cover for Bill, including her not wise? Then Jay-Z is held up like a king. He's your guiding light. Did it slip out of your mind? The elevator fight.
Everybody,
don't get political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We don't like you for your mind. Not for your mind. We listen to you unwind. Don't be political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We don't think you're a scholar. Not a scholar. Download your song for a dollar.
So you're not a scholar. We download your song for a dollar. Yeah, Carrie, I saw you bobbing. I saw you chair dancing. Way to go.
No, you did not. No.
High five.
You saw none of
high
that.
High five. Oh, the people love the parody. Look, the people are going crazy over here. Wow, that's amazing. Actually, there is nobody saying anything about the parody on the. See, this is what they do. They go to the Facebook and talk amongst themselves, and then they ignore. If you want to hear the parody again, I've got it queued up. We can do that. Or I can 86 it. Put it right in the circular file. I just get rid of it.
86, that one.
Look, I know. I realize that you two want that, but it doesn't really matter.
I know.
What matters? The viewers matter. The listeners matter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it only matters what you want.
No, it doesn't. Well, it's probably true at the end of the day. Yes. But no, I mean, I will listen to the listeners. If they want to hear it again, we'll do it again. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me tell you something. I did that parody in like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I know.
You can tell that.
I know. Here we go. Here comes the snooze. Yep. Keep on hitting.
Yep.
But what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to either never play it again, or I'll bring it up again if you want to hear it. 1-800-383-9624 or joepags.com. Send me an email, tweet me, hit me on Facebook, whatever. Gary Byrne, when we come back, stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Pool.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back Gary Byrne. He's the author. Well, the first book was called what? Crisis of Character.
Yeah.
The new book is called Secrets of the Secret Service. It's Gary Byrne. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Really glad to have you back on. You know, it really piqued my interest. I didn't watch the Grammys last night. And I didn't watch it the same reason I haven't watched any NFL football this year, although I probably will break down and watch the Super Bowl. But I'm tired of politics being thrust upon us no matter what we're doing, man. I mean, if it's I want to just hear some music. I want to watch people play a game. I don't need politics thrust to me at all times. But it really jumped out at me that former Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton was somehow summoned to take part in a music show to read from a book the author has admitted he can't verify most of the information in, as if she's some beacon of all that's wholesome and righteous in America. So you didn't watch either, but you got wind of this. What did you think of first and foremost?
Yeah, this morning I saw a tweet from Dana Loesch, so I looked at it, and that's what it was about. And the first thing you see when you look at the clips is Mrs. Clinton's reading from this book.
Yeah.
And she reads an excerpt from the book where she says that President Trump likes to eat fast food because it's pre-prepared, and he's supposedly paranoid about being poisoned. And the funny thing about it that struck me was the hypocrisy. And what I mean by that is most people don't know this, but when Bill Clinton, her husband, was elected president, the first month or so he was in office, you know, first book's Crisis of Character was about me being posted outside the Oval Office.
Right.
So I look at the schedule one day and it says, you know, McDonald's Corporation. I'm like, McDonald's Corporation? And The CEO, the president, like three or four members of the McDonald's Corporation and board members show up for a meeting with the president. And they present him, Bill Clinton, because during the campaign, they always talked about him eating Big Macs. They presented him with a gold card. It was the size of a credit card, and it guaranteed him free McDonald's food any restaurant in the world. And I saw it personally. It sat on the back, the credenza behind his desk for years.
Yeah.
So before she goes, you know, busted on somebody else for eating fast food, she should remember her husband's past.
Wait, but, you know, that's sort of status quo, though, isn't it, Gary? It's Gary Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. The name of the book is Secrets of the Secret Service. That's standard operating procedure for the Clintons, though. I mean, you've got a woman who is taking part in this Me Too celebration, and the time is now or something, where we're going to stop abuse of women, which, of course, I'm for. You don't want women to be abused.
Sure.
But here she is, somebody who, it's not even a secret. We know that she without a doubt, protected her husband, even though Kathleen Willey, even though Juanita Broderick, even though Jennifer Flowers, even though Paula Jones, all of that happened. They had a bimbo eruptions department in the campaign that she was overseeing. So for her to be the person who's going to be out there, you know, in this celebration of music in the industry and let's stop abusing women, I mean, that's really hypocritical, is it not?
Yes, it's incredible. And also, let's not forget some of her earlier history. She actually once defended a man that was accused of raping a 12-year-old girl.
And laughed about it.
And that's on tape, and it's out there for everybody to hear. So that's who the real Hillary Clinton is. Again, like you and I talked many times before, these are some of the compelling things that brought me to write the first book, Crisis of Character. That's who the real Hillary Clinton is. She doesn't care about anybody else. She cares about herself. This helps her make her look good in the eyes of people. Let's face it, she's the most failed presidential candidate there ever was now, and she's not helping herself anymore. And you know, the one thing you want to remember, the one case that you want to remember that her husband was involved in was the Paula Jones case.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want, but nobody writes a check for $850,000 when they're innocent.
I couldn't argue with that. It's Gary Byrne. The name of the new book is Secrets of the Secret Service. Get his first book, Crisis of Character. You were an officer with the Secret Service during the Clinton administration. And I know that you've relayed stories to me before, but because of what we know and because of what you and I talked about, and because nobody's really denying it anymore, that Bill Clinton really was a bad guy and a predator, even the news media is saying, yeah, we should have done more, blah, blah. We believe Juanita Broderick all of a sudden. You've got like firsthand experiences with Bill Clinton actually getting together with people there at the White House, with Hillary Clinton knowing about it, with the two of them fighting ferociously, or at least she was. If you don't mind, fill people in who are watching and listening. This was not something that she didn't know about. She wasn't the woman scorned. She was a part of it.
No. And let's go again. Let's start at the beginning. When Bill Clinton first decided to run, he was still the governor of Arkansas. I was on a detail down in Arkansas. I've told you this before. Yeah. I meet the sheriff, and he tells me everything you're going to hear about these guys, Gary, is true. They are, we call them the Arkansas Mafia for a reason. Then you fast forward, and you know, as time went on, all the scandals that we heard about, and they referred to them as tabloid scandals, and these women, these are the kind of women you meet when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park.
She said that, yeah. Or did...
Well, so did James Carville.
James Carville, right.
So, but here's my next question for Mr. Carville and everybody in the Clinton machine. What's on the other end of that string? Bill Clinton.
True. Who's dragging the $100 bill?
Right, exactly. So, you know, you fast forward, everything became true, and then, you know, the rumors come out about this intern, Monica Lewinsky. Now, as soon as the story broke, I knew it was, I mean, I knew, you know, it had happened 2 years, 3 years before.
Right.
And I knew we were, the uniform division especially, we were in deep trouble, because it framed itself up very quickly, that it was going to be Judge Starr. He had this information, and he believed that the Secret Service could tell him that Bill Clinton had lied on this affidavit. Everybody thinks it was about sex. It was not. It was about Bill Clinton signing a sworn affidavit, lying and saying that he'd never had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. And then he doubles down, as he always does, right? Not only that, but they were never alone in a room together. And then he coerced Lewinsky to sign the same affidavit. That's what the whole scandal was about.
Well, it was about him lying under oath. People think that it was about something else. It wasn't. It was about him basically committing perjury in a lawsuit.
Yeah, he lied under oath about sex, but he still lied under oath. It's about lying under oath,
right?
Not about the sex. So Judge Starr, through his grand jury, you know, investigation, he finds out that basically the Secret Service can tell him what he wants to know. And everybody thinks that the word secret, there's a legal ramification for it. There's not. The Secret Service is no more secret than any other government police department. And eventually it breaks down. My name comes forward. I end up having to testify, as you know, against the president I'm protecting at the time.
Right.
You know, the examples of the hypocrisy of her, you know, the smartest thing she could do is to go to one of her many houses that she owns and stop
talking. She's not going to go away. It's Gary Byrne. The name of the new book is Secrets of the Secret Service. The first book was Crisis of Character. They're both amazing reads. I want you to go and get them both. Get five copies, spread around to your friends and family. But the thing that I wanted to ask you was, this is 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I have to know, seeing how they acted, knowing what they were into, knowing how badly they were lying to the American people, did you have any inkling that this Clinton machine would still be available and somehow relevant in 2018? I mean, was that possible in your mind?
I did, because they're so crooked. They've corrupted so much of the government. They've corrupted the FBI. They've corrupted the Secret Service. And I detail this in my book, Secrets of the Secret Service. But to get to your point, you know, like you said, sometimes when I'm talking, some people say, well, that was 25 years ago, right? I'm like, what you said. But let's keep in mind, we just found out that during the campaign that one of Hillary Clinton's assistants, who was supposed to be some religious person who was helping her with religious texts, was accused of sexually harassing a woman. And they hid it. And they basically ignored it. They transferred her to another department. They didn't fire him.
Do you have an opinion, Gary, as to why? I don't get it. Listen, Bill Clinton's a great salesman, and when he's on his game, and he's not anymore, looks like an old guy who's just, you know, way beyond, you know, his prime. But when he was in his prime, he was the guy. I mean, he could sell you the shirt off his back and really get some things done just through his smile. Hillary Clinton doesn't have any of that going for her. Hillary Clinton is not fun to listen to. She's not a very nice person. If you could just assume, you know, she's not a nice person because you saw it firsthand. How is it that they're still relevant and the people in the Democrat Party haven't said, look, we have to move past you people because this isn't getting it done for us anymore? What is your opinion as to why everybody's afraid to step up against these two?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, they've corrupted a large part of the government. We saw that, like I said before. Yeah, I don't want to go through all that again. The Clinton Foundation is this huge pile of money, and it basically is, I mean, there's a book out there called Clinton Cash, and it's a little hard to read, but if you follow it, it shows you exactly like my book does. Just follow the trail.
Right.
And it's basically, you know, I think 90% of the fund money that they raise for charities goes to them. And a small portion goes to these charities. It's a scam.
Their power is rooted in all their money? Really? That's it?
Money and evil. Sure. Absolutely. Their power. And they have stuff against people. Listen, 25 years ago, when Filegate erupted, and 900 files from the FBI somehow miraculously ended up at the White House complex in Craig Livingstone's office. They didn't get down there by elves. Somebody in the FBI gave it to them. Now, the guy that was in charge of the FBI at the White House had nothing to do with it. He talks about it, Gary Aldridge. So
I read Gary's book, yeah.
Right. So it's not a huge connection here. Were those the same people? You know, these people, we just saw the deputy director of the Secret Service, or the FBI, he says he's resigning. Everybody else is saying they're asking him to leave.
Yeah.
Because of what the involvement with the supposed Russian scandal, which is a complete fake. But, you know, is it a stretch to say that this guy was a young agent back then? You know, they get these people to do these things. They keep them on the string because it's mutual assured destruction. Mm. You know, and nobody, we never completely investigated Filegate because nobody wanted egg on their face. Congress would have been held partially responsible because of the lack of oversight.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted it to go away, and that's what happened. And that's why these things keep fostering up. You know, the Clintons are going to keep being corrupted until they're held accountable for at least one thing.
Well, hopefully we're getting close to that. It's Gary Byrne. The name of the book is Secrets of the Secret Service. One last question. It's more philosophical. Because of your experience with the Clintons, and Hillary Clinton specifically, do you think she should be the face of how women should come forward and talk about abuse and how she's with them? I mean, is she the right person to champion the Me Too movement, really?
No, she's not. She's not. She should be nowhere near this. Because I don't know if you remember, but during the campaign, I don't know how somebody got into one of her town hall meetings and asked that question.
Yeah,
and she looked that woman right in the eye and said, when they're credible. Well, in other words, like her husband's accusers weren't credible. One of them, they were all credible. One.
All of them.
I'm telling you right now, I've said this to you before and I'll say it again. If Kathleen Willey walked in any police department in this country, in the world, and in any language told that story, they would open an investigation. And when you watch her tell her story, I think it was on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
I was in the White House at the time. I was in the West Wing the next day outside the Oval Office. You could feel and hear the depression. Everybody knew she was telling the truth.
Wow.
The women that were in the White House, they were stunned. They knew it was true, but they couldn't come out and say it. You could feel it. No, Mrs. Clinton shouldn't have anything to do with standing up and supposedly being this pillar for women. She's done more to destroy more women's lives than anybody I can think of.
It's Gary Byrne. He's a great author. Get Crisis of Character. That's the first book. The second book is Secrets of the Secret Service. Gary, I know that you've got to go. You've got more stuff going on, but I really appreciate you taking the time. Let's talk again soon.
Anytime. Thank you, Joe.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
100.
You're always just minutes away from the latest news, traffic, and weather, and breaking news when it happens. News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, glad to have you on Motown Monday, the Joe Pag Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Sadly, for the other people on my staff, everybody loves the parody. Only one person didn't like the parody. And she said that her husband wanted me to 187 it, and which I think is kill. I think that's the kill code for in L.A. And do it with fire. So he wanted me to burn it, too.
I think that's smart.
Other than that, everybody loves it.
Of course, we probably,
I'm thinking we're going to have to hear it again. Not sure when. You have to stick around. I'm sure you'll hear Too Political again at some point. Let me tell you in the meantime about Super Beats. You know, as we age, we all notice our bodies changing. I know I do. Used to have less energy, feel more fatigued, but things got better once I discovered Super Beats. Recently learned that this is due to a decrease in circulation that you've got to take care of and pay attention to. Found out that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. And again, I drink Super Beats. Super Beats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Super Beats is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beats free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beats are working for you, and free shipping, too. Again, 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com. I had a guy ask me, so how do I get your deal? Go to joelovesbeats.com. That's how you do it. All right. I love how patient he is. He's a great friend of the show. He calls in every Monday. We've got to say hello to AJ.
Big time Motown, Joe Pag. Hey, check it out. Deals moving out, deals moving in. Why? Because of the corruption that they did. Run, 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 but they still can't hide. Release the Dago Memos. I think they're releasing them big time, Motown.
Well, they are. They just came. While you were on the phone and holding, they actually made that announcement. Carrie will have the full story coming up. That's pretty cool.
Awesome, baby. Hey, and Clinton's, where are they going to hide this time? Well, I'm pretty sure they'll find a rat hole somewhere to hide in. And we might find out Obama hands was in it as well. And, boy, it's just a train wreck that what these Democrats have done to our country. And, boy, about time we got a real man in there like big-time Donald Trump to show it up. But wait, hold on. Jay-Z said that, money don't mean nothing. Well, big-time, why don't he give up that money? that he got to the poor folks. I mean,
not happening.
Come on now. The money don't mean nothing. Give it up. And wait a minute. He got more votes, and he came out empty with no award. Now, come on. And Hillary reading that book, Big Time Motown, I think I'd rather read a Dr. Seuss book. That is
Hey, did you watch? Hey, listen, I know that you love music. Did you watch it last night? I did not watch it.
No, I didn't watch that crap. I'm like you. I didn't watch NFL football either. The only reason I might watch the Super Bowl, now only if all of them come out and stand for the national anthem. If they don't, I will not be watching. Because Tom Brady and my man Belichick, they for Trump. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. So,
well, you and I agree, AJ. I'm going to put it on Sunday, and if anybody's kneeling, I'm shutting it off. I'm not going to watch it if anybody wants to disrespect me for taking the time and my country. It's not going to happen.
Hey, and I'm with you 2,000% big time, Motown. Our troops come first, and our country comes with cause of day protecting it. Love you, man.
Hey, AJ, do you have any idea? Do you have any idea why Kerry's so negative on my parodies? Because they rock, man. You know they rock.
She, you know, she a right-hand man. She a right-hand woman, I'm going to say. She know what I mean, but hey. Hang in there, Gary. That's big time Motown.
All right, AJ, we love you. We'll talk to you soon. We appreciate that. You're my right hand man.
Okay.
You're my right hand woman.
Sure,
right hand woman. So, yeah, you have been outvoted horribly. This isn't even close.
I always am. It never
fails. You guys are very negative on it. I mean, at least Polo normally will at least say, yeah, it was pretty good. That was a pretty good parody for 15 minutes in the works.
Sympathy votes.
Oh, stop it. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right. They're also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Monday. Oh, yeah, it's a Motown Monday. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Along with Carrie Lockie, my news anchor, general pain in my rear end. We are getting it done for you on a Monday. A post-Grammys Monday. There is a lot going on. Bottom of this hour is going to be Doug Stanton. He is the writer of the book 12 Strong. The executive producer of the movie 12 Strong, and get some great information from him. I have not seen the movie yet. I would like to see the movie. Carrie, you never do anything. You haven't seen the movie, have you?
I have not seen it. Looks good though. I've seen the trailer.
You know what it's about?
About the first soldiers that went in when the war first started.
Yeah,
they were on horses, I think. They were on horses.
Yeah,
right?
they're called horse soldiers. Yeah. And they were, he's calling them the tip of the spear, sort of to go in there and feel their way through. And they got a lot of help from the Afghani people. And we're going to talk to them about all that. And then some. We even talked about what those same soldiers think about the situation today in Afghanistan. So that's the bottom of this hour. Make sure you stick around for that. We've got a lot going on, a lot to get to. I've also got a PAGS parody. And this is one that I was surprised. Carrie seems to love this one.
No.
Which is very. No, I'm pretty sure. If I was listening last
You're
hour,
sure?
I think I said
horrible.
Well, let me ask you this, because you know that I know that you know that I know that on Twitter, 200 people said how much they loved it, and one person didn't like it. Well, let me ask you: did you retweet or like any of the tweets at all?
I think I liked a.
You did.
I liked a tweet. Yeah.
You did like one.
I did.
Again, yes. A couple of hundred loved it. One tweet didn't like it. Which tweet did you like?
The one that didn't like it.
That's supportive.
Because they agreed with me.
That's supportive.
Sorry.
So somebody says they don't like
it. Help it.
And that's the one that you seek out and that you like. You don't pay any attention to social media ever other than if they tell you how great you are or that my parodies suck.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Dude,
did you go crazy, do all these interviews and do a parody before the show for the people?
I did not.
Or did you sit around getting your nails done by somebody
working,
your toes did?
I've been working all day.
People fanning you off and feeding you grapes.
I wish.
Oh, I have to read a news story. Let me read a news story and other news. Blah, blah, blah. Look at me. I'm
work
Gary.
Like that.
And then,
no.
Pretty sure.
It does not.
Polo sent me a secret video, a surreptitiously taped video of you being catered to hand and foot, people making you sandwiches.
Funny.
Like, I don't want bologna. I want ham. It was,
yes,
it's
how
you,
I talk around.
The people
here.
Don't even understand. That's exactly when you're not on the air. It's pretty much how it goes.
On a ham sandwich.
Yeah, home. I went home. So I've got a PAGS parody I called Too Political, and it's based on an Olivia Newton-John song. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm feeling a little spunky. Might have to play it again this hour. Now, I know that if I just count up the votes, it's 4,000 to 2, and you're one of the two.
I know.
All right, three, because Polo said no too.
Yeah, Polo said no too.
Yeah, that's three.
We got three.
But yeah, I mean, the people want to hear it again. It's called Too Political, and it's about the Grammys from last night. But before we do that, you know what we like to start hour number two out doing? You know what we like, don't you?
I do.
To Rob Tweed, Grammys, Jay-Z, Carrie, fanned off with grapes, Pax Perry, Trump Tweet. I don't know. They're just not as creative as they used to be. I might just stop doing that.
I think you should.
You just do this. Trump tweets. You just stop.
That's
just do,
different.
That's it.
Okay.
That would be
people
something,
wouldn't
it?
Like it, though. They wouldn't like it.
No, you don't think? You think the people like the whole yelling in the butt?
I do,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll do it for a minute or so. Well, that's true. It is called the Joe Pags Show. If they're watching and listening, then they kind of like what we're doing, I think.
I mean, you could
there are a few, though.
You could do a parody out of key and you know, with horrible words, and they would still say that it was the best thing ever. So...
Why are you saying that's what today's is?
I mean,
actually, there is a parody. I did a parody
on Ben Carson. And then people were attacking Ben Carson. I did it to Michael Jackson's Ben. I've only let one person ever hear it.
I don't remember that.
Nope. Because it's never going to, and I have it.
Oh, then we should hear it. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, okay, a lot of them are horrible, so why do we hear those?
Actually, Carrie, let's be honest. The other ones. It's all fun and games, blah, blah, horrible. They're generally speaking pretty good. A little bit of harmony. I'm usually in tune, if nothing else. I'm not a great singer. I'm not pretending that I am. I'm a great saxophone player, but as far as singing, I can sing in tune. Mm-hmm. Having said that, this song was so bad, I had a hard time listening to it again.
Now that makes me want to hear that parody.
So maybe when I die, I will bequeath to you in my will the ability to play that song
parody?
On the radio.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
We shall.
Oh, it's horrible. Because think about the song Ben by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And then think of my voice singing that song.
Oh, wow.
Well, the song was, he was singing about his pet rat, wasn't he?
He was.
Isn't it a rat or a mouse? Something like that?
Yeah, a rat, I think. Yeah.
Ben, you always... What I just did there was twice as good as what the parody sounds like.
Man, I want to hear it. Maybe for my birthday?
No, you're never going to hear it, ever. Oh, not for your birthday. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, is it? It's a big one. I forgot. 60, huh?
No, maybe. Not even close, buddy.
Come on.
No.
Come on, say goodbye to the fours.
No, I will
say
not.
Say goodbye to the fours.
No, I'm still in the fours for a long time.
1-800-383-9624. The first Trump tweet is from... The 26th, so be Friday, I guess he's thanking everybody in Davos. Thank you for the wonderful welcome at WEF, World Economic Forum. Hashtag Davos 2018. All right, that he's back stateside. And this is on Saturday. Thank you to Brandon Judd of the National Border Patrol Council for his strong statement on at Fox and Friends that we will very badly need the wall, must also end loophole of catch and release and clean up the legal and other procedures at the border now for safety and security reasons. All right. Next one is on Saturday as well in the afternoon. On Holocaust Remembrance Day, we mourn and grieve the murder of 6 million innocent Jewish men, women, and children, and the millions of others who perished in the evil Nazi genocide. We pledge with all our might and resolve, never again. And then there's a link to his website, the White House website. 5:59 p.m. on Saturday, Taliban targeted innocent Afghans, brave police in Kabul today. Some would say Kabul. Our thoughts and prayers go to the victims and first responders. We will not allow the Taliban to win. My interview with Doug Stanton, he talks about the Taliban has a lot of land back in Afghanistan. We'll talk about that. Make sure you stick around for the bottom of the hour. 10:58 Saturday night, I've offered DACA a wonderful deal, including a doubling in the number of recipients and a 12-year pathway to citizenship for two reasons. One, because the Republicans want to fix a long-time terrible problem. And two, because to show the Democrats do not want to solve DACA and only use it. I wholeheartedly agree with him. Wholeheartedly agree with him. I don't believe Democrats want DACA to be solved. I think they need these people, the DACA recipients, as a pawn. They need to be able to use them to show how evil and horrible the Republicans are. And the Republican president just took all that leverage away. All right, let's do it.
Do what? You're stupid. And you had a Billy Bush tape where you were mean.
That's pretty much the response. He's calling their bluff, and he's winning. This is 11:08 p.m., same day. Democrats are not interested in border safety and security or in the funding and rebuilding of our military. They are only interested in obstruction. The next one is from Saturday morning, Sunday morning, 8:18. Somebody please inform Jay-Z that because of my policies, black unemployment has just been reported to be the lowest rate ever recorded. Now, he's responding to Van Jones, the communist that was launched from Obama's administration for being too radical, which is hard to do, interviewing Jay-Z, where Jay-Z says...
It was hurtful, what the president said. It was hurtful.
What? What's hurtful is that you hate the country, that you hate white people. Again, look up the five percenters. Have you looked, Carrie, did you look up five percenters like I told you last hour?
No, I did not.
Jay-Z wore obviously at a basketball game, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, a medallion that shows the symbol of the five percenters. Five percenters aren't good people, and they don't like white people. And he seems to be okay with that. I guess he thought nobody would ever find out what it was. So, yeah, Jay-Z talking about how hurtful this is and, these are beautiful people in African countries. Because, of course, Van Jones lied and said, the president said people from every African country are no good. Doesn't want them here, which is not what he said. 8:18 yesterday morning, our economy is better than it has been in many decades. Businesses are coming back to America like never before. Chrysler, as an example, is leaving Mexico and coming back to the USA. Unemployment is nearing record lows. We are on the right track. And the last Trump tweet for today...
3:12 this afternoon. Congratulations to America's new Secretary of HHS Gov, Alex Azar or Azar. Do we know how we're pronouncing that, Karen?
I've heard Azar. Alex.
We can go with Azar. I know a Michael Azar, and I think he says Azar. Could be Azar.
Could
Might be Azar. Not sure. Now, this is a long time coming since Tom Price was out end of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a private jet that he paid for out of government money or something.
Yeah.
And then we haven't had an HHS secretary since then. That kind of sucks.
I know. I think we need one.
Who's been taking care of our health and human services?
Yeah.
Now, there was an interim guy. Wouldn't you hate to be the interim guy? We have been the interim guy, Carrie. I know. The interim guy.
It's not fun.
And you know what? You know, it's funny. We were the interim guy, and most of the radio stations, the ones that could anyway, stayed with us. The new guy didn't get it. So, yeah, I've been the interim guy. It's not fun to be the interim guy because you're pretty much told you're not the guy.
Yeah. But we still need to do it.
You still have to do the job the best way you can. Right.
We get the new guy.
So I brought this up last hour. Did you watch the Grammys? Did you enjoy the Grammys at all? I did a parody on the Grammys, and it's called Too Political. We'll have that when we come back. Your phone calls as well. Doug Stanton, executive producer and the author of 12 Strong, right here on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
Joe Pag.
WOAI is an iHeart radio station.
Absolutely. Motown Monday, the Joe Pag Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Last night, the Grammys was rife with politics. I guess the first song by Kendrick Lamar. Paulo, I don't know, and I'm not being coy. Is Kendrick Lamar a singer or a rapper?
Rapper.
Okay, so he comes out with a song, and what I'm told, I didn't see the video, I didn't watch it, I wasn't tuned to it. From what I understand, in the song, he's depicting a bunch of men being shot and killed. And I guess the whole argument was that society's still killing the black man.
I guess so.
Is that a popular song by him?
I don't think I've heard that song.
Okay.
But I was reading something like that on TMZ where it seems like he's shooting his dancers or whatever.
Oh, there you go. All right, yeah. So he's shooting his dancer. That's always a good visual.
Yeah.
Mark Dice, who is a political commentator and satirist over on social media, he's the guy that'll go like to the boardwalk out in L.A. or San Francisco and ask people really dumb questions, and they have no clue, or they'll just believe whatever he says, just to sort of expose how this generation, some people are, just completely clueless. Well, his comment to Kendrick Lamar was, maybe Kendrick Lamar can explain why the black male population in America is only 7%, yet they're responsible for 50% of the murders. Now, I have not seen a number, and I'm going to ask Mark Dice directly to show me some information that would prove that number. But, I mean, certainly there's a disproportionate number of black men involved in violent crimes in this country as compared to their population. Now, the argument by Kendrick Lamar is that there's a disproportionate number of black men killed by police, according to population. And it's a discussion we can certainly have, but to have me want me to tune in, maybe download your songs, maybe buy your stuff so you can continue living the high life, and then I see you depicting yourself shooting and killing your dancers, not sure I get it. Then Hillary Clinton was brought in, and she's reading an excerpt from this Fire and Fury piece of garbage, this book that isn't verified by anybody, and pretty much the author said, believe it or not, but it's kind of what I think happened. And he says, I can't verify a lot of it. They had Hillary Clinton read a section of that book, a book that alleges Nikki Haley is having some sort of affair that's completely uncorroborated, and she's a woman that protected her husband from women he really sexually assaulted for years and years, and for some reason she's the beacon of light and hope for the left, too. And this was all part of a music show. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't get it. Now, I feel good that I didn't watch it. It kind of sucks that I have to hear about it all day today. And yeah, I'm talking about it because it's one of the biggest things going on. The Grammy ratings sucked. Nobody on my staff watched it. It's not like we colluded and said, hey, let's not watch it. They didn't say that we didn't watch it. I didn't know until I asked last hour if the people who work with me watched it. None of us did. And all of us like music. So maybe the Grammys can get a clue and realize that it's not about what you think. I don't care. It's not about your politics. I don't care. In fact, from what I understand, Kerry, last night it was too political. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you do. Just admit that you like this song already.
No. Can't do that.
Why?
It's bad.
Here we go. We turn to you to get away from it all. We do. Not to hear you teach. That's the least I can do. Dance around to sing a song. Not your time to preach. Bring it now. You seem to have forgotten why you're there. You're a star among us. Uh-huh. We don't give a shit what you think.
What was that?
Your ego is enormous. Don't be political. Let it go.
A little harmony for you.
Don't be political. Don't be so political.
Come on.
We just want to hear you sing. Just hear you sing. We just want to hear you sing.
That's right.
Stop being political. Let it go. Don't be so political.
Can you smile at least?
We just want to hear you sing.
Dude,
and
terrible.
Watch you dance. Please just entertain us all.
This rocks. Bring another verse.
Then you brought out Hillary Clinton to read a book of lies.
Newsmax said something froze.
Did you miss her cover?
They had to go to break.
Including her, not wise.
They went to break.
The Jay-Z is held up like a king. He's your guiding light.
All right.
Did it slip out of your mind? The elevator fight.
Everybody.
Don't get political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We don't like you for your mind.
What?
Not for your mind. We listen to you unwind.
Exactly.
Don't be political. Let it go. Don't be so political.
We don't think they're a scholar, Kerry. We download their song for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the playing of the Pags parody, I'm told Newsmax had an equipment failure and had to go to break.
I don't know if I believe that. Man.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I believe that. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Do you think that really happened, Newsmax?
I'm sure. Yes.
I wish I could have used that excuse.
Right? Last hour? Are you planning on playing it next hour? Because that could happen.
I might play it again after the break since they missed half of it. No?
Play it during the break.
Let me go to
Hey, Deborah, I appreciate you waiting. I've only got about a minute. Make it happen. Hello, Deborah. See, the parody
Deborah
just finished everything. She was like, that
too,
was great.
Because it was so
that
bad.
That was great. Tommy, make it quick for me. Talk to me. Tommy, you're on the air. Come on.
Tommy, you're doing great. Absolutely great. Super, super.
All right, he thinks I'm Tommy now. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We definitely want to hear from you. Linda wants to talk about the Grammys. We'll get to Linda in a little while. I don't want to shortchange her. Other phone calls coming in. The way we always do it is, if you love the parody or even like it, let me know. You can call in 1-800-383-9624 or email me. Just go to joepags.com for Facebook, Twitter, email and Instagram. If you hated it, Like Kerry claims she does. I think that she secretly likes it.
Claims.
Just keep it to yourself. Nobody cares. 1-800-383-9624.
They do care.
JoePags.com. Quick break. We're back with Doug Stanton after this. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags.
The president delivers the State of the Union address tomorrow. So what happens if you ask a group of college students about his speech and pretend it was last week? What would they say? You'll hear coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have author and executive producer Doug Stanton on with us. Doug, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
The name of the book and the movie is 12 Strong, and it's sweeping the nation. 4 weeks now, a New York Times bestseller. Did you expect that going in, that it would do so well and grab so many people's attention?
Well, when the book came out originally, it got to number two. But I think what's happened now is we've got a whole new generation of Americans who are interested in basically what is Pearl Harbor for the 21st century,
right,
which is what these guys responded to. So, no, it was a pleasant surprise, Joe.
Well, is it a matter of 16, 17 years going by, Doug? Because, yep, again, I lived it, you lived it, we watched it. We know a lot about what happened on that fateful day in 2001. But you're right, the new generation, they've heard of it. It almost is kind of like Pearl Harbor. So you're putting into real live moving pictures and into a great book what the response was.
Yeah, so when you see the movie 12 Strong, Jerry Bruckheimer and Molly Smith at Black Label shot the book. I mean, they really followed the special skills that these guys had. So you and I are going to go into Afghanistan together. We're going to know Arabic and some Russian. We're going to know the cultural mores, the religious mores. We're going to sit down in the dirt and draw with a stick. Okay, now we're going to stop fighting each other, the Uzbeks, the Tajiks, and the Hazaras, and we're going to go after the Taliban. What we bring in our backpacks sitting beside us are these lasers and radios that can talk to the air. And that was the secret recipe that really collapsed the Taliban so quickly.
Who are the horse soldiers, if you can explain that to my listeners? And before we do, it's 12 Strong. It's the movie. It's the book. Doug right. Stanton is the author and the executive producer. Who are these guys?
So they're from the U.S. Army's 5th Special Forces Group out of Fort Campbell. They come out of World War II, that when the World War II ended and the OSS kind of disbanded, part became CIA, part become SF. And so they're trained to drop in behind enemy lines and use all those skills I just talked about, cultural, yeah, social, and to create relationships. They're diplomats and warriors all rolled into one, and they're just incredibly trained to adapt and think quickly.
Yeah,
different than the,
go ahead.
Oh, different than the conventional army. I mean, just to go back for a moment, because we're talking about history.
Please.
Now, back in history, there was no plan to invade at, well, number one, they're not invading Afghanistan. They're just going there to get rid of the Taliban. But there's right. no plan to go in. So they're it. They're the, as they say, the tip of the spear. It was unique in American history for them to be used.
I saw an interview with Chris Hemsworth, who, of course, stars in the movie. And I'm watching him just in awe of what these men did. And right. now that we actually know who they are and what they were able to pull off, and the fact is, and you know this better than anybody, we went into Afghanistan because of their being the tip of the spear and smoked the Taliban in record time. Now, Afghanistan is continuing. We're not really even sure what the goal is anymore. But to go in there and get rid of this government that was giving safe harbor and training al-Qaeda, but I mean, you see him, who played Thor, who's been a star for a long time, in awe of these guys. Do you get that reaction anytime you tell somebody the story that you're involved in, that you wrote, and when you get to meet these actual people who did it?
I did. I mean, I spent 5 years traveling all around MacDill and Fort Drum and meeting their families. I want to just give a moment here, recognition to the wives and girlfriends and the kids of these guys, because the other hard deployment of this is the home front. Mm. And so the book and the movie go back and forth. This is a real kind of story with a heart. There's a lot of excitement, but it's about how these small group of guys made this huge social change for the moment. I mean, this is a big victorious moment in American history. We can talk about today in Afghanistan too, but this, I mean, it's important. You want to go see this to know how we ended up where we are today.
The name of the movie and the book is 12 Strong. The author, executive producer is Doug Stanton, and I'm really honored to talk to you. I just have a quick aside about Jerry Bruckheimer, and this doesn't mean anything about anything, but I thought maybe you'd get a giggle out of it. I interviewed him probably 10 or 12 years ago when I was filling in for Glenn Beck on television at CNN. And I, because I'm not humble at all, I said I would like to be on CSI. I'd like to maybe even a loudmouth talk show host that you can make the basis. He as cool as he possibly could, and you know Jerry, so maybe you can see this coming. He said, "We're always looking for dead bodies, Joe." And that was it. That was my brush with Jerry Bruckheimer. He's a great guy. Doug, is it rare that a movie producer, that somebody who makes this come to life, sticks to the book as closely as you say he did? Because so often there's dramatic license taken and you lose the meaning.
I think it is rare, but both Jerry and Molly Smith, you couldn't make this up. I mean, we would want to, but they're on horses. Yeah. They're not wearing helmets. They're living with the locals. They're fighting like the locals, eating with them. That was the secret of the mission. I mean, it was just brilliant that they stuck with it because that's what audiences are responding to.
Yeah.
It's a totally new take. It's an unusual, totally fresh look at what we would call a war movie. And Hemsworth is great because he's really physical, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he sits down with Naveed Negabon, who is amazing. People will know him from Homeland.
Right.
He's done lots of other stuff besides that. But Naveed took a lot of time to work on the Afghan side of it. So it's about – and the Afghans, by the way, were employed on the set. Got a lot of feedback from them. Thank you for making this movie and writing this book, which tells the world that Afghans aren't terrorists.
I think we oftentimes don't give them credit. We had to have translators. We had to have people in Afghanistan that would trust us when we came in and believe that we were there for the better good of them as well as the world. How did these horse soldiers convince the Afghan, the residents there, that they weren't there to kill everybody and take all their stuff? They were really there just to get the bad guys out.
So to go back to, you know, your point about Jerry making the book, when I'm done my reporting with Captain Mitch Nelson, at one point his Afghan counterpart, the general, says, "Let's raise the American flag. We've just captured this city. Let's roll through and everyone will see the flag."
Yeah.
Smart guy, because everyone knows the Americans are with him. The SF captain said, "Let's not do that, because in reality, you guys have been fighting this civil war for 6 or 9 years
right.
Previous. This is your victory. There's a few of us." And that stayed in the movie. And it was that kind of co-working that really convinced them that they weren't there to turn it into Ohio. That's true.
I mean, so many people were afraid we were going to nation build and make it a territory right. of us. You're right. You put up the Afghan flag. It says not only did we take our town back or beat the bad guys out of here, but it's still ours. I love that.
Oh, yeah, and that is the SF model, and that's why they need to really give a shout-out. Now, I want to also say that the CIA was incredibly important. They were actually there first as pathfinders. The Air Force did a lot. The U.S. Army Aviation Wing, the Black Hawk Down fellas, they didn't do this alone, but they did lead the way at the beginning.
He's the author of the book, and he's the executive producer of the movie 12 Strong. It's Doug Stanton. Doug, I appreciate you taking the time. A movie like this... I did not see a huge amount of advertising and fanfare going into it, but it's going really great at the theater, and more people are seeing it. Is this one of those that is truly a word-of-mouth movie?
I think it is word-of-mouth, but also they did a lot on, believe it or not, football games.
Oh, wow, okay.
And they took real care to screen this around the country at different military posts, brought in a lot of the community, and what do you think? They liked it. They brought in the horse soldiers themselves and screened it for them. They built it outward, and it was smart because, I mean, I've been to a couple of screenings now with audiences. I saw it once by myself.
Yeah.
And people clap at the end. I mean, they not because they're entertained, but they're happy with the ending of the movie, which is they captured this city.
Right. And you said that we can talk about Afghanistan today, and I'd like to do that. It's Doug Stanton, executive producer and the author of 12 Strong. What do the horse soldiers think about what's going on today? We seem to be mired in this place, and we kind of lost the vision. After they did their important work and did an incredible job getting rid of the Taliban, suddenly it's just sort of this place that we're not sure what victory even looks like. What is their take from your travels and from your being with them?
Well, my take is, or their take would be, at the end of the book, I talked to Pat Essex, one of the engineers on the team, and he said, "Let's check in 10 years. Well, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think Pat would say now, let's move that marker ahead another 5.
Okay.
But to put a finer point on it, the plan we're doing right now, I mean, we've just seen attacks in Kabul recently, the last
right.
couple of days, bad ones. You know, the president administration is trying to beef up and go on the offensive. The Afghan National Army has been built up. The police are there. And so in some ways, the mission now is like it was in 2001. Unfortunately, for the past 17 years, this vacuum has festered.
Right.
And the Taliban have about 60% of the country now. So, I mean, I want to get to your question. What are we doing there? I think what we're doing there is trying to figure out what to do with Pakistan.
Okay.
Stephen Call has a really great article in the present out in journalism, and he talks about the role of Pakistan in actually dealing with Afghanistan. We haven't really addressed that.
And well, you've got Pakistan, plus you've got Iran sending in every fighter they can find, because if you want to fight the Americans, go to Afghanistan, they're there. And that's the problem. So, yeah, I mean, building up their forces, building up their police, and dealing with the neighbor, Pakistan, which isn't necessarily our friend, yet we send them billions of dollars, that's got to be a struggle. But is there a clearer vision now, in your opinion, again, having spent so much time with the people that fought there so many years ago?
Well, I think there's a clearer vision right now to go. I mean, they're actually creating these new security brigades where they break into teams that model after what happened in 01. Okay. I just want to say that was unprecedented. I mean, the other footprint was 50,000 people moving in with trucks and tanks and essentially invading the country.
Right.
So it's slimming down right now. One of the guys that was attached to it said, what would have happened in 2003 if we just had declared victory and gone home? And that's a very good question.
It is.
Because if you want to look back at Afghanistan when they had a king, I'm not suggesting we go back to a monarchy.
Right.
But there was a king in Kabul, and you had governors in these different provinces. And he would say to them, you can have my international aid. That's fine. But you have to show some nominal loyalty to me. You can be autonomous. You can be Shia. You can be et cetera, Sunni. And that seemed, we did not have the problems then that we have today. We had other problems, but what if it were Switzerland? I know that sounds absurd, but what if...
kind of does, yeah.
I mean, come on.
I didn't see that coming.
What if, because I am not a political science major,
sure,
but
sure.
You and I, let's just talk. What if we imagined that each valley was its own autonomous region? That you had to accept that the Pashtuns were going to be in the south,
yeah,
with their own brand of life, and the north was going to be a different kind of experience. And that was the future of Afghanistan. I mean, you're asking, like, what are they thinking? I know one of the guys in the intel community said to me, reconciliation. There is nothing to be done but for you and I to sit down and say, listen, the past is behind us. This has happened. This is the reality now. What are we going to do to go forward? I cannot continue to have this grudge against you. I have to accept. Now, that's a hard bargain to make.
Well, it is. You've got warlords in all these different sections of Afghanistan that want their own little fiefdom. And then, you know, either you have one Afghanistan that can reconcile, or you've got five or six different countries that are going to continually be at each other's throats.
What also means that I have to accept the fact that you, in your certain autonomous region, so to speak, are going to treat women in a certain way, that your own sense of religion is going to be a certain way. And that is something I have to come to accept. Now, this is why they, back in 01, as diplomats and warriors, were well suited to this task, because they juggled these two different impulses.
And succeeded. Which is crazy. Hey, Doug, listen, I can talk to you for 3 hours, and I know that you don't have that kind of time, and my listeners probably would sit here and my viewers would watch it for 3 hours. Can we get together again?
Absolutely. I just came out with a book about Vietnam called The Odyssey of Echo Company.
Beautiful.
And we should talk about Vietnam, because that is one of the other unfinished story of America.
I would love to do that, my friend. It's Doug Stanton, executive producer, author of 12 Strong. Continued success, and let's talk again very soon.
Thank you.
Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Get to hear the whole parody. I mean,
well, maybe some other.
Yeah. What's a man to do? What do you mean?
Don't play it again.
What is that all about?
Well, you asked. Were you asking?
They can always.
They can always go to
Joe. Pags.com, JOEPAGS.COM, and then click and listen to the stream for next hour. And because I'm sure I'll play it again next hour. It's so popular. I'm
sure you will. Yeah.
The people really love the parody. But I do. I feel bad that the people watching on Newsmax TV did not get the entire song.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost like letting them down.
No, it's not. Not really. And they understand.
1-800-383-9624.
Oh, stop it. You have not. You have one person, and everybody else is attacking you and telling you not to, to pan it, and you're just ignoring them.
I am.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me tell you about Optima Tax Relief. If you dragged your IRS tax problems into 2018, why? Stop it. It's time to take care of this. Look, they're going to catch up to you. The number one tax resolution firm is Optima Tax Relief. Them standing between you and the IRS, you actually have a chance to finally look forward to a fresh start. Optima knows that behind every tax problem are good, hardworking Americans, people with families, homes, savings, paychecks, people who need caring experts to stand between them and the IRS. That's how Optima has resolved $500 million in tax debt for their clients. And they're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Stop living in fear. This is the last day, make it the last day that the IRS is going to be on your back, okay? Don't let them garnish your wages and attack your bank account. Get a hold of Optima Tax Relief right now, 1-800-656-7034, 1-800-656-7034, 1-800-656-7034. Don't let this be on your back anymore. The IRS is not just going to go away. You've got to make them go away. That's how you do it with Optima Tax Relief. So you're saying that people don't want to hear it again right now?
That's correct, yeah. I've had some people reach out to me saying, have them.
Do you have anything firm that would actually support what you're saying? You're just,
I do.
As usual, talking out of your ear.
No, I do. I have
evidence here.
They've reached out to me and said it's okay. They really want to hear it again.
When you say they, if it's Polo or Karina or Sam, that doesn't count. So who are these they?
Just people on social media who are...
So the one person on Twitter.
Getting in touch with me.
Is it more than one person?
You know, one or
is
two.
Is it or not?
No, there's one or two who have
I'll
said
save it for
no.
next hour. Let me, in the meantime, go to Linda, who's in Michigan. Linda, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, good evening. First of all, like your show, like the parody.
Thank you.
As far as the Grammys in general... I agree. We've got to, the music itself was good, but the minute they started getting political, I was about ready to shut it off. The only reason I didn't is because I don't have access to a computer, so I knew I couldn't go on YouTube and hear the music later on, so I was forced to sit through the crud that was on, and I believe there was even profanity because I'm totally blind, so I can't see a screen. But I could tell that the sound cut out for about 7 seconds, and then it would come back on. And even Mars says, you know, Grammys, don't cut me off, don't cut me off. And I'm thinking to myself, well, don't ramble on and on and on. Get to the point, say what you want to say, and be done with it.
Linda, I'm with you. I got to tell you, I love you, and I'm glad that you reported to us how you thought about it. I guarantee you that because she was only listening to it, that's exactly what was going on. They were dropping all sorts. They're dropping all sorts of profanity, and this is what the censors do. They don't even bleep it out. They just take the sound away. Got to go to break. We're done on TV for today. We're back tomorrow. We continue on radio.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio. It's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. It is the Joe Pags Show coming your way. And glad to have you here on a Monday. Oh, yeah. Motown Monday. Did I say dop? Along with Gary Lockie, my news anchor, general pain in my ass. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Thanks a lot. Gary, I have to know. As a mother,
yeah,
and you certainly are, I don't know, what is your reaction to Kim Kardashian West? Do you see that she's trending, and do you see why she's trending?
I don't know why she's trending today. Didn't she have some picture or something she's posted?
Polo, who's enamored with that butt, I throw that out there, Polo. Do you know why she's trending? I know you do. You must.
It's on TMZ, so.
Oh, so you otherwise would not have known?
No, honestly, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't follow her. I'm not on Instagram or Twitter or anything like
Polo.
That. I'm not.
I know the lovely and talented is listening, but don't lie about not following her.
No, I'm serious.
You've been following Kim Kardashian
for
years.
I don't have to.
Because it shows up everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah.
So, no, look, let's be honest. She's only famous because she had sex on video. That's it.
Basically.
I mean, without that, she's not famous. Her father was one of O.J. Simpson's closest friends and was O.J. Simpson's lawyer. That's the reason why I know the name Kardashian. All of a sudden, the girls, I guess the mother married Bruce Jenner, who's now confused about who he is. And we got a bunch of girls, and the allegation was that Khloe, one of her sisters, is not really the guy Kardashian's daughter, but maybe O.J. Simpson. But then the O.J. Simpson said, well, maybe not, and I don't know that. Long story short, the whole thing's convoluted, and we only really know about Kim Kardashian because she had sex on video. That's it. And sent it out, pretended she didn't know, said it got stolen, whatever. But that really made her famous, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's years later. And look, don't misunderstand me. She's very attractive. That doesn't mean you get 100 million followers on Twitter either, just because you're attractive. People want to be a Kardashian, and a lot of them want to be a Kardashian. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I don't want my kids to be a Kardashian because I think that they're living in a fantasy world.
It's the lifestyle.
But, well, I guess, but so what? Work your ass off and get the lifestyle. These people have the lifestyle. They didn't do anything for it. It's very weird to me. I mean, I guess they do something for it now with the reality shows and everything. They're all making their own money, but and the clothing line and whatever. But again, we only know of her because of that video. Having said that, she's trending again today. And Carrie, she's got two children now.
She's got three.
Is it three?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Northwest and then Let's Move West. Oh, no, what is it? What is the recent one?
St. West and then Chicago is the third one.
There's a Northwest, there's a Chicago West, and who's the other one?
Saint is the middle child.
Are they all Wests?
Yes.
Are they all Kanye's kids?
Yes, but the third one was through a surrogate.
Right. So the third one was just born recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know. I mean, you want to have a surrogate, it's your body, it's your life, you do whatever you want to do. But the picture that's freaking everybody out today is that she's topless, wearing some sort of a coat and not wearing much in the bottom, and she's in very good shape. But I'm not really sure. You just had your third child through somebody else's body. Why is it trending?
I don't know.
Why are people freaking out? We know why she's famous. And I mean, it also brings into question, so the reason why you had a surrogate is so you could post more pictures like this?
No.
Why is that? I always thought trending was important.
She had complications.
The surrogate did?
No, she did with the second one. So they told her that she could no longer have children regularly, normally.
Let me ask you this. Did you talk to the doctor?
No, but it was on her show. I mean, it was all
right.
There.
So Kim Kardashian said it was on the show and said she can't do any more that way. So now she's showing off her very toned body with no top on at all after a surrogate had the third child. I don't know. It's just not very motherly to me. Did I miss something?
I would agree with you on that. It's not maternal whatsoever.
And again, her body, show it off if you want. I'm not questioning why she posted the picture. I get how shallow Kim Kardashian is. There's not a whole lot there. I get it. And again, what she had does not have a good voice. And then the brain doesn't seem to be a whole lot of things clicking there. I've seen her on some interviews. So God bless her. She looks great. And she wants to show off her pictures. Fine. My question is about the society of social media that thinks that that's important enough to trend. Like near the top. It's Kim Kardashian with her shirt off. That's not news. You know, if somebody who's never been seen in public naked or anything like that decides to suddenly, here I am topless. Maybe that's news. Maybe. But Kim Kardashian. So am I missing something? What's the draw here?
I have no idea. And it's not drawing me, that's for sure.
Watch this. Watch. Mm-hmm. Paul, have you seen the picture?
Again, it's on TMZ. And as I was scrolling down.
Is the uncensored picture on TMZ?
It's not. She's the one who censored it.
What?
She's the one who censored it.
What are you talking about?
because that's what even TMZ
censored on, on Instagram.
Okay, I just scrolled right past it right now. TMZ even says that she's the one who blurred the picture a little bit.
For research purposes only, I had to take a look. It's not blurred as far as I can tell, unless my eyes are gone.
Well,
she's full on naked up top. And then the picture she posted after that, she's wearing nothing but a G-string.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, this is mommy of three.
Well, there was also a photo of her, I guess, a week or two ago where she was doing like a photo shoot or something, and she was wearing like this. I don't even know what you would call it. It's like it was like totally sheer, like see-through shirt, and she was like walking on the beach, and you could see like all her business.
That's all she got going for her, I guess.
I mean,
I don't know. Once you have the third kid, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'll be a little more like a mommy. Unless you want to be, you know, naked all the time on Instagram, mommy. I guess you could be that.
Work for Cher.
And this is my mom, naked all the time on Instagram. I mean, really? Now I'm getting people asking me to do a topless picture. Look, I get
it. Okay? Come on. Who's asking you that?
I'm telling you.
You're lying.
Hello, go on Twitter. Pay attention.
It's the same people think that you did a good parody.
Which is everybody, by the way. Mary says, maybe you should go topless and see if you trend, Joe. And she copied you on it, Carrie. I don't know why you can't take part.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'll do it right now. Hold on a second. Let me just undo this. What?
Grandpa's gone wild.
Please stop.
What?
Grandpa's gone wild.
Is that really a thing? Grandpa's gone wild?
It could be if you start it.
That's gross.
I could. I've got enough gray hair on my chest now that I'm telling you. Can make it happen. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Simple question. Am I being funny or coy? I really do want to know, because a lot of you idiots out there, and when I say idiots, I mean it because I love you. A lot of you are making this trend. I didn't like it. I didn't retweet it. I didn't send it around, so I'm not making a trend. Why is this a thing? Why is this something? Oh, okay, I get it now. Now there are Twitter people calling her out for cultural appropriation because she has braids in the picture. Can I be honest? What? I did not notice what her hairdo was doing in the picture.
I figured.
Paulo, am I right? Am I right?
Right.
That was not the thing that made me go, oh, what the hell is this?
Right, and I guess that, I don't know if she was trying to say it was like a Bo Derek type thing or whatever, but that's something that they also mentioned on TMZ about. That
was
photos.
Oh, also trending, if you guys care. And I find this, I wonder what Mark Cuban is thinking right now. Blake Griffin has now been traded to the Detroit Pistons from the LA Clippers. If you're a basketball fan, you know that's a big deal. Of course, Chris Paul is now playing for Houston. So DeAndre Jordan, who had the biggest deal of the big to go to the Dallas Mavericks a few years ago, was begged by Doc Rivers, the coach, by Chris Paul, the point guard, and by Blake Griffin, the power forward, to not leave. Please stay. We're going to win championships. And they've both now left. I have to get Mark Cuban on to talk about this. I just have to. Now, I have interviewed Mark Cuban before. It's a long time ago, though. So we'll see if we can make that happen. I have a good feeling we'll get him early this year. What do you think?
That would be interesting. I think you can. Like to hear from Mark Cuban, what he has to say.
And then, of course, Chief Wahoo is trending, too, because the Cleveland Indians have decided to get rid of the cartoon character that's on their helmets and on their jerseys. Because the cartoon is offensive. It's a freaking cartoon. But it's offensive somehow. I'm telling you, I don't understand what's going on in this country right now. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. If you'd like to explain to me the draw of Kim Kardashian West being half naked and why that's trending. And is it really cultural appropriation that she has braids? I mean, I could be wrong, but the only people I've ever seen her date are black men. Is she not allowed to wear braids? Even if cultural appropriation were a thing, why wouldn't people be madder that she was culturally appropriating the men and not a hairdo? Did I miss the boat on that one?
I don't know.
Or do you think there are people out there that already complain that the Kardashians only date black guys?
There are.
Paulo, is that a thing? Yeah. I was going to ask. Who's going to know? Paulo's going to know.
there are some people that do say that, yeah.
It's all very strange. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Gary Byrne at the bottom of the hour. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags.
WOAI is an iHeart Radio station.
I need love.
Hey, it's the Joe Pags Show, Motown Monday, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Paul has the answer in Austin. He has the answer as to why Kim Kardashian is all that. What's going on, Paul?
Oh, hey, how are you, Joe?
Living the dream. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. Well, I do not follow Ms. Kardashian West, but when you mentioned it earlier, I just thought, okay, what's the deal now? So I looked it up on my phone, and I was like, oh, wow, what a shock. Kim Kardashian's nude again. And as you've already said, that's really what she's famous for, committing sex acts nude. So,
right.
But what was striking to me was all the comments that I was reading. It's just everybody's mad about, is the first place, the first thing they see is, what color is that person? And why are they culturally appropriating my culture? And how dare you call Fulani braids Bo Derek braids? And I just think it's sad, sir, that here we are barely a week removed from Dr. King's Day of Honor, right? And all these people are just, the first thing they see is what color is their skin and why are they acting that way, when I think Dr. King would have really liked for the color of our skin to be the last thing we noticed and the last thing we argued about. And it's just, it just seems like people are just out there ready to be mad about something. And I guess that probably must be Donald Trump's fault somehow. Anyway.
Well, eventually it will be. Yeah, no, it will be his fault eventually. No, Paul, I appreciate that. That's interesting. Yeah, the whole cultural appropriation thing is confusing to me, because we are an American culture that's a melting pot of all cultures. Anybody who wants to come here and be successful, you become part of the culture. And that's I think it's an honor. I'm glad pizza's part of the culture, and it's got, you know, Italian sauces and spices. I'm not really sure I understand why I should be mad that somebody wants to eat a pizza that's not Italian, or somebody wants to have braids that's not black, or whatever the race you have to be to wear braids. But when somebody tries to bring cultural appropriation up to me, my answer to them is always, why are you saying that to me in English? And then I just let that sit in, just sink in a little bit. Because, I mean, if I'm appropriating your culture, what culture are you of that you speak English, yet you're the owner of dreadlocks, or you're the owner of braids, or you're the owner of fill in the blank? Because wouldn't you be speaking that language? Or are you culturally appropriating the language of this land? And it tends to stop the discussion. But I guess when you're on social media, you can be as stupid as you want. And people act like you actually are making sense. You're not. I mean, if you have to say what color is that person before you launch into an attack, you're clearly a racist. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Going to be Gary in Louisiana. Gary, what's going on?
Bill, can you hear me? Take out speakers.
I can. What's happening?
Oh, man. Class about security there. Olivia Newton-John. Loved her when I was a kid. We're calling you here from Fort Polk Army Base right here in Leesville, Louisiana. We ain't far from
you. Awesome.
Yeah, love the interview with the soldiers guys, man. Gonna go see that when it comes out. And I had an idea for a parody for you.
What do you have?
I was hoping you might be able to use Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire and call it something like, you know, Washington is full of liars.
Washington is full of liars. Gary, I appreciate you listening there, Louisiana, and thanks for your patience. Washington's filled with liars. Maybe. Oh, that's not, it's not my favorite Billy Joel song, but maybe, Carrie, maybe.
It has some potential, I suppose.
Maybe, but he said the word parody, so you know what has to happen, right?
No. Oh, crud.
What? No, he said parody.
So you don't have to play
it. It's in my contract. Mm-hmm. No, if somebody says parody, I have to play it. It's in my contract.
Right.
The Grammys last night, full of political crap. We turn to you to get away from it all. Not to hear you teach. Come on, bring it. Dance around, sing a song. Not your time to preach. Man, nailed it. You seem to have forgotten why you're there. You're a star among us. We don't give a shit
what you think.
What did I say there? I forgot.
Your ego is enormous.
Come on.
Don't be political. Let it go. Don't be political. Don't be so political. We just want to hear you sing. Just hear you sing. We just want to hear you sing. Stop being political. Let it go.
Don't be jelly.
Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We just want to hear you sing. And watch you dance. Please just entertain us all. Then you brought out Hillary Clinton.
What was all that?
To read a book of lies. Did you miss her cover for Bill? Including her, not wise.
True.
Then Jay-Z is held up like a king. He's your guiding light. Did it slip out of your mind? The elevator fight.
Everybody.
Don't get political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We don't like you for your mind. Not for your mind. We listen to you unwind.
Come on now.
Don't be political. Let it go. Don't be so political. Don't be so political. We don't think you're a scholar. Not a scholar. Download your song for a dollar.
That's how we do it, Carrie. We're not playing around. Mm. We're only gonna get political. We're gonna do the parody. We're gonna bring it your way.
Yeah.
By the way, I appreciate all of the great comments on that. The great compliments. People want me to burn, you know, the CDs for them and sell it for charity and everything else. I get it. I understand that. You know, listen, talent like this is rare. I get it. You know,
with another song or something, or listen to another.
By the way,
station.
Oftentimes conservatives are accused of not believing in science, right? Science denier.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. There's a story out that's scientific, and it's about conservatives. And I'm here to tell you, I believe the science.
Really?
I believe the science. We'll have that story for you as the show continues. If you didn't hear Gary Byrne, he was a Secret Service police officer, worked during the Clinton administration, wrote a book called Crisis of Character that was a runaway bestseller because it really showed who Bill and Hillary Clinton were. He's got a new book out called The Secrets of the Secret Service, and he comments on what Hillary Clinton did last night on the Grammy Awards, which was ridiculous. We've got that for you. Plenty of time for your phone calls, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Keep it right here on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back Gary Byrne. He's the author. Well, the first book was called, what, Crisis of Character?
Yeah.
The new book is called Secrets of the Secret Service. It's Gary Byrne. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Really glad to have you back on. You know, it really piqued my interest. I didn't watch the Grammys last night. And I didn't watch it the same reason I haven't watched any NFL football this year, although I probably will break down and watch the Super Bowl. But I'm tired of politics being thrust upon us no matter what we're doing, man. I mean, yeah. If it's, I want to just hear some music. I want to watch people play a game. I don't need politics thrust to me at all times. But it really jumped out at me that former first and former Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton was somehow summoned to take part in a music show to read from a book the author has admitted he can't verify most of the information in, as if she's some beacon of all that's wholesome and righteous in America. So you didn't watch either, but you got wind of this. What did you think of first and foremost?
Yeah, this morning I saw a tweet from Dana Loach, so I looked at it, and that's what it was about. And the first thing you see when you look at the clips is Mrs. Clinton's reading from this book.
Yeah.
And she reads an excerpt from the book where she says that President Trump likes to eat fast food because it's pre-prepared and he's supposedly paranoid about being poisoned. And the funny thing about it that struck me was the hypocrisy. And what I mean by that is most people don't know this, but when Bill Clinton, her husband, was elected president, the first month or so he was in office, you know, my first book's Crisis of Character was about me being posted outside the Oval Office.
Right.
So I look at the schedule one day and it says, you know, McDonald's Corporation. I'm like, McDonald's Corporation? And The CEO, the president, like three or four members of the McDonald's Corporation and board members show up for a meeting with the president. And they present him, Bill Clinton, because during the campaign, they always talked about him eating Big Macs. They presented him with a gold card. It was the size of a credit card, and it guaranteed him free McDonald's food any restaurant in the world. And I saw it personally. It sat on the back, the credenza behind his desk for years.
Yeah.
So before she goes, you know, busted on somebody else for eating fast food, she should remember her husband's past.
Wait, I mean, you know, that's sort of status quo, though, isn't it, Gary? It's Gary Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. The name of the book is Secrets of the Secret Service. That's standard operating procedure for the Clintons, though. I mean, you've got a woman who is taking part in this Me Too celebration, and the time is now or something, where we're going to stop abuse of women, which, of course, I'm for. You don't want women to be abused.
Sure.
But here she is, somebody who it's not even a secret. We know that she, without a doubt, protected her husband, even though Kathleen Willey, even though Juanita Broderick, even though Jennifer Flowers, even though Paula Jones, all of that happened. They had a bimbo eruptions department in the campaign that she was overseeing. So for her to be the person who's going to be out there, you know, in this celebration of music and the industry and let's stop abusing women, I mean, that's really hypocritical, is it not?
Yes, it's incredible. And also, let's not forget some of her earlier history. She actually once defended a man that was accused of raping a 12-year-old girl.
And laughed about it.
And that's on tape, and it's out there for everybody to hear. So that's who the real Hillary Clinton is. Again, like you and I talked many times before, these are some of the compelling things that brought me to write the first book, Crisis of Character. That's who the real Hillary Clinton is. She doesn't care about anybody else. She cares about herself. This helps her make her look good in the eyes of people. Let's face it, she's the most failed a presidential candidate there ever was now, and she's not helping herself anymore. And you know, the one thing you want to remember, the one case that you want to remember that her husband was involved in was the Paula Jones case.
You
can say whatever you want, but nobody writes a check for $850,000 when they're innocent.
I couldn't argue with that. It's Gary Byrne. The name of the new book is Secrets of the Secret Service. Get his first book, Crisis of Character. You were an officer with the Secret Service during the Clinton administration, and I know that you've relayed stories to me before, but because of what we know and because of what you and I talked about and because nobody's really denying it anymore, that Bill Clinton really was a bad guy and a predator, even the news media is saying, yeah, we should have done more, blah, blah. We believe Juanita Broderick all of a sudden. You've got like firsthand experiences with Bill Clinton actually getting together with people there at the White House, with Hillary Clinton knowing about it, with the two of them fighting ferociously, or at least she was. If you don't mind, fill people in who are watching and listening. This was not something that she didn't know about. She wasn't the woman scorned. She was a part of it.
No. And let's go again. Let's start at the beginning. When Bill Clinton first decided to run, he was still the governor of Arkansas. I was on a detail down in Arkansas. I've told you this before. Yeah. I meet the sheriff, and he tells me, everything you're going to hear about these guys, Gary, is true. They are, we call them the Arkansas Mafia for a reason. Then you fast forward, and you know, as time went on, all the scandals that we heard about, and they refer to them as tabloid scandals, and these women, these are the kind of women you meet when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park.
She said that, yeah. Or did...
so did James Carville.
James Carville, right.
So, but here's my next question for Mr. Carville and everybody in the Clinton machine. What's on the other end of that string? Bill Clinton.
True. Who's dragging the $100 bill?
Right, exactly. So, you know, you fast forward, everything became true, and then, you know, the rumors come out about this intern, Monica Lewinsky. Now, as soon as the story broke, I knew it was, I mean, I knew, you know, it had happened 2 years, 3 years before.
Right.
And I knew we were, the uniform division especially, we were in deep trouble, because it framed itself up very quickly, that it was going to be Judge Starr. He had this information, and he believed that the Secret Service could tell him that Bill Clinton had lied on this affidavit. Everybody thinks it was about sex. It was not. It was about Bill Clinton signing a sworn affidavit, lying and saying that he'd never had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. And then he doubles down, as he always does, right? Not only that, but they were never alone in a room together. And then he coerced Lewinsky to sign the same affidavit. That's what the whole scandal was about.
Wait, it was about him lying under oath. People think that it was about something else. It wasn't. It was about him basically committing perjury in a lawsuit.
Yeah, he lied under oath about sex, but he still lied under oath. It's about lying under oath,
right?
Not about the sex. So Judge Starr, through his grand jury, you know, investigation, he finds out that basically the Secret Service could tell him what he wants to know. And everybody thinks that the word secret, there's a legal ramification for it. There's not. There's no, the Secret Service is no more secret than anybody, any other government police department. And eventually it breaks down. My name comes forward. I end up having to testify, as you know, against the president I'm protecting at the time.
Right.
You know, the examples of the hypocrisy of her, you know, the smartest thing she could do is to go to one of her many houses that she owns and stop
calling. She's not going to go away. And it's Gary Byrne. The name of the new book is Secrets of the Secret Service. The old, the first book was Crisis of Character. They're both amazing reads. I want you to go and get them both. Get five copies, spread around to your friends and family. But the thing that, that I wanted to ask you was, this is 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I have to know, seeing how they acted, knowing what they were into, knowing how badly they were lying to the American people, did you have any inkling that this Clinton machine would still be available and somehow relevant in 2018? I mean, is that, was that possible in your mind?
I did, because they're so crooked. They've corrupted so much of the government. They've corrupted the FBI. They've corrupted the Secret Service. And I detail this in my book, Secrets of the Secret Service. But to get to your point, you know, like you said, sometimes when I'm talking, some people say, well, that was 25 years ago, right? I like what you said. But let's keep in mind, we just found out that during the campaign that one of Hillary Clinton's assistants, who was supposed to be some religious person who was helping her with religious texts, was accused of sexually harassing a woman. And they hid it. And they basically ignored it. They gave they transferred her to another department. They didn't fire him.
Do you have an opinion, Gary, as to why? I don't get it. Listen, Bill Clinton's a great salesman, and when he's on his game, and he's not anymore. He looks like an old guy who's just, you know, way beyond, you know, his prime. But when he was in his prime, he was the guy. I mean, he could sell you the shirt off his back and really get some things done just through his smile. Hillary Clinton doesn't have any of that going for her. Hillary Clinton is not fun to listen to. She's not a very nice person. If you could just assume, you know, she's not a nice person because you saw it firsthand. How is it that, that they're still relevant and the people in the Democrat Party haven't said, look, we have to move past you people because this isn't getting it done for us anymore? What is your opinion as to why everybody's afraid to step up against these two?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, they've corrupted a large part of the government. We saw that, like I said before. Yeah. I don't want to go through all that again. The Clinton Foundation is this huge pile of money, and it basically is, I mean, there's a book out there called Clinton Cash, and it's a little hard to read, but if you follow it, it shows you exactly like my book does. Just follow the trail.
Right.
And it's basically, you know, I think 90% of the fund money that they raise for charities goes to them, and a small portion goes to these charities. It's a scam.
Their power is rooted in all their money? Really? That's it?
Money and evil. Sure. Absolutely. Their power, and they have stuff against people. Listen, 25 years ago, when Filegate erupted, and 900 files from the FBI somehow miraculously ended up at the White House complex in Craig Livingstone's office, they didn't get down there by elves. Somebody in the FBI gave it to them. Now, the guy that was in charge of the FBI at the White House had nothing to do with it. He talks about it, Gary Aldrich. So
I read Gary's book, yeah.
Right. So it's not a huge connection here. Were those the same people? You know, these people, we just saw the deputy director of the Secret Service, the FBI. He says he's resigning. Everybody else is saying they're asking him to leave.
Yeah.
Because of what the involvement with the supposed Russian scandal, which is a complete fake. But, you know, is it a stretch to say that this guy was a young agent back then? You know, they get these people to do these things. They keep them on the string because it's mutual assured destruction. Mm. You know, we never completely investigated Filegate because nobody wanted egg on their face. Congress would have been held partially responsible because of a lack of oversight.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted it to go away, and that's what happened. And that's why these things keep fostering up. You know, the Clintons are going to keep being corrupted until they're held accountable for at least one thing.
Well, hopefully we're getting close to that. It's Gary Byrne. The name of the book is Secrets of the Secret Service. One last question. It's more philosophical. Because of your experience with the Clintons and Hillary Clinton specifically, do you think she should be the face of how women should come forward and talk about abuse and how she's with them? I mean, is she the right person to champion the Me Too movement, really?
No, she's not. She's not. She should be nowhere near this. Because I don't know if you remember, but during the campaign, I don't know how somebody got into one of her town hall meetings and asked that question.
Yeah,
and she looked that woman right in the eye and said, when they're credible. Well, in other words, like her husband's accusers weren't credible. One of them, they were all credible. One.
All of them.
I'm telling you right now, I've said this to you before and I'll say it again. If Kathleen Willey walked in any police department in this country, in the world, and in any language told that story, they would open an investigation. And when you watch her tell her story, I think it was on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
I was in the White House at the time. I was in the West Wing the next day outside the Oval Office. You could feel and hear the depression. Everybody knew she was telling the truth.
Wow.
The women that were in the White House, they were stunned. They knew it was true, but they couldn't come out and say it. You could feel it. No, Mrs. Clinton shouldn't have anything to do with standing up and supposedly being this pillar for women. She's done more to destroy more women's lives than anybody I can think of.
It's Gary Byrne. He's a great author. Get Crisis of Character. That's the first book. The second book is Secrets of the Secret Service. Gary, know that you've got to go. You've got more stuff going on, but I really appreciate you taking the time. Let's talk again soon.
Anytime. Thank you, Joe.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
It's what you need to face the day.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes.
It is incredibly helpful to start my day off with this.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Joe Pags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Appreciate you. Let me tell you about your circulation. You probably don't think about your circulation. It just happens. I don't have to think about my circulation. I'm here to tell you that you should. Here's why. Good circulation is crucial to energy and stamina. It gets oxygen and nutrients flowing throughout your body so you can exercise longer, do more activity every day, and recover quicker. So what can you do to promote healthy circulation? You can do what I do. Drink Superbeets. Superbeets promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Superbeets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to improve your circulation, call 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or go to joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Superbeets free, plus indicator strips to see how Superbeets is working for you, and free shipping, too. Call 1-800-516-8389, or go to joelovesbeets, that's B-E-E-T-S.com. Do it now. All right, Carrie, I told you I like science.
Mm-hmm.
Big believer in the science. I believe that, you know, science tells us there are two sexes for human beings, male and female. I believe that. For some reason, the left doesn't. I also believe that science has not proven that global warming is happening. That's why the left had to change it to climate change. But I believe in this science. Here's the headline for the New York Post. Science says conservatives are hotter than liberals.
Really?
I completely agree.
You would, wouldn't you? Seeing as how you are a conservative.
Who am I to argue with the science?
That's true. That's true.
It's science.
Mm-hmm.
We can do a Simon science segment. That could be the open.
No.
Let's talk science. No, they know it.
No. Think of a little something better than that.
Science proves it. Swipe right, the writer writes. A person's looks affect their politics, with beautiful people leaning toward conservative beliefs.
You all right there?
According to findings published by two Midwestern professors, good-looking Americans tend to get more credit and admiration than they probably deserve. Yeah, that happens a lot. Thanks to their attractiveness, thus steering their political beliefs. Quote, physical attractiveness is an important social factor in our daily interactions. Scholars in social psychology provide evidence that attractiveness stereotypes, the halo effect, are prominent in attracting the traits we attribute to others, according to the political science professors Rolf Doss Peterson and from Susquehanna University in Selins Grove, Pennsylvania, and Carl Palmer of Illinois State. Quote, controlling the socioeconomic status, we find that more attractive individuals, so true, are more likely to receive higher levels of political efficacy, identity as conservative, and identify as Republican. Their findings were published last month in Politics and Life Sciences Journal. This information has not gotten to Berkeley yet because there would have been a riot.
No doubt.
Put it right out there.
Yeah.
They'd have been burning stuff. This is not fair. Mm-hmm. It's wrong.
Crying.
You know, Ed, can you do it in 30 seconds? Ed, 30 seconds, go.
30 seconds, I'll do it quick. Thanks for taking my call from the Swedish Eduardo from Minnesota. And I just wanted to say that the Kardashians, Kanye West, are just trying to stay in the public eye to keep everything going. They should have one more child and name it Wicked Witch of the... And I got...
Well, time's up. He did it in 30 seconds. It's pretty good.
He still had more to say, Wicked, I think.
But, Wicked West of the West.
Yeah.
Pop culture. Boop.
Dirty pop.
All right, Polo, make it happen. Let's go.
Okay, so have you seen oh, my gosh, I forgot her name. Megyn Kelly is going to have on her show tomorrow.
Did not.
Okay, she's going to have Nicole Eggert, who was on Charles in Charge with Scott Baio. And I guess she's claiming that he had molested her while they were on the show together.
Scott Baio, and I looked at this morning, I actually retweeted it, and he retweeted me, did a 16-minute video on Facebook showing proof that she was of age when they had relations.
Right.
So I'm not really sure what the deal is, but Dr. Oz dropped a segment on it because of the information given by Baio.
Right.
That'll be interesting to see what she has to say today. It's a very, very strange story. All right. Gotta go. For Polo, for Carrie, for Karina, for Sam, Joe Pags. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Joe Pags.